These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Judah to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and the laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, please speak to us from your word now and do us good. Amen.
Amen.
That bit of the Bible that I just read, it was written to a people, a nation called Israel, who had come out of being slaves in a country, Egypt, and they were on their way to the promised land, the land we now call Palestine. And Moses, God really speaking through Moses, was reminding them of what he'd done, but also how important it was that his laws were obeyed. And how important it was that they taught them to their children as well. One of those laws was the Ten Commandments, or included the Ten Commandments, and the first commandment, really, not to have any other gods. And that's sort of repeated in a little bit after the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus 34 like this. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. I wonder, whatever age you are this morning, I wonder what you think about when you hear that. When you hear the Lord our God is a jealous God. In fact, it says it twice. It says his name is Jealous, and it says he is a jealous God. We are to worship, to honour, to glorify, to praise only this Lord because he is a jealous God. We're not to have any replacements, any alternatives, any substitutes, any others, because he is a jealous God. It actually says Yahweh, Jehovah, Kana, Elohim, Kana. The Lord, jealous God, jealous. God is a jealous God. Well, I wonder, children, if you want to have a go at telling me what you think jealous means. Joel's doing a good job at the back. Joel, big voice. Yes, that's perfect, yeah. Wanting something perhaps that someone else has got. So there is a bad way to be jealous. We want something that someone else has got. So it might be that we want their Xbox. Do people want Xboxes? No. Or is that passé now? Does some people want something else? What might be something, a gadget for a child that you would really want that someone else has got? Help me out. Yes, Joel. A Wii 2? A Wii U? Yeah, I'm so uncool. Right, a Wii U. Is that the letter U or the word U? The letter U. A Wii U. Would I like one of them?
Yeah.
Okay. It's my birthday in August. So a Wii U. Anything else? Anything? I'm not saying girls don't play on those because there was a girl's voice over there that said yeah, but anything girls might like that other girls have got? Yes? A telephone? Yes. Yes, to be able to communicate. It's very important, isn't it? Yeah, you might want something like that someone else has got. Or you might want someone else's good looks. Or you might want their teeth. Not actually their teeth. So I wouldn't fancy anyone's teeth in my mouth. Not even Luis Suarez. But you might want the straightness of their teeth or the whiteness of their teeth, or you might want their hair, or any hair would be handy. That would be good. Although, even if I had the money, I don't think I'd have implants there. I wouldn't fancy someone else's hair growing. You just never know what might happen. Might change your whole personality. You might want their friends. You might be jealous of other people's friends. You might want their house or their car. Or you might want the piece of cake that they're eating just right now in front of you. We don't like people having things that we want. Or sometimes it's having things that we think we deserved. Like they get voted to be the most popular person in the class. Or they get to play for the football team. Or they get to be the captain of the team. Or they get the last sweet when there's only one left. So sometimes we want something that we think we deserve. Sometimes we want it just for our own selfish pleasure or to take it away from somebody else when it really does belong to them. Well, we're not doing very well, really, are we, thinking about jealousy? Because it doesn't sound a very good thing. Does it sound like a good thing to you? I don't think so. So I wonder if there's a good way to be jealous. I wonder if there's a good way to be jealous. Well, I think there is a good way to be jealous. And one is in giving honour where it's due. So I want two volunteers, kind of mismatched, so to do a little race with me. Yeah, we'll have you two. Oh, no, you're looking like you might get this. Anyway, what I want you to do is... I think I need the two R's. So if you go and if you stand just here... Okay, now you stand just here, and you just stand over there. Oh, no, we're going to have to move the thing. Right. Can we just move that pram thingy? Oh, I'm really sorry, Hayley. Oh, I didn't think this through very well, did I? Okay. Eh? No, I can't do 10-star jumps. Right, I've got the plan now. This is all ready. Okay, it's going to be a little race. You can put it back afterwards. They just need enough space to get out and round and back. Okay, so you're going to run up there, left and back, and you're going to run up there, right and down, okay? And whoever crosses the finishing line, which is basically the front level of here first, they're going to be the winner. And just make sure one of you wins, okay? Go! Oh dear, I wanted someone a bit more mismatched. Who was the winner of that? well, maybe we should get another couple of people to do it, because I'm not sure if there wasn't really a clear winner. Oh, do you want to do it again? Okay. Hey? Okay. Okay. Now just make sure one of you wins, right? If this doesn't work, me and Caroline will do it. But I don't think Caroline's in. I think Ben's not very well, so I think Caroline's not here. Is that right? She is here. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do it then. Okay, go. Was it the same again, a draw? Do you want to do it, Caroline? Come on. I'll do it with Mark. Can you give the medal to the person who loses? Oh, Caroline's got up. She's going to do it. Okay. Someone else has got to say go. Somebody else say go. Oh, no. Stay here, stay here. Now, I want you to give the medal to the person who won. Who won? Did Mark win? Ah. I'd like you to sit down. Well done, boys. Very well done. Well, you know when you say to your kids that you let them win, but it's not true. That's not like that. Well, who won that race, children? The last one. And who got the honour? Ooh. Now, I wonder if Mark... I'm out of breath. I wonder if Mark would be all right to be a little bit jealous in a good way. What do you think? I think he would. Because I think the honour, the glory, the adulation, the praise, the applause, although there wasn't very much of it, went to me and not to him. And when that happens, there is a right kind of jealousy to say we want to give the honour where that it's actually due. We want the right person who wins the race, who achieves whatever, who passes the exam, who passes their driving test. We want them to get the certificate. We want them to get the licence. We want them to get the medal and not somebody else. We want the honour to go to the right place where it's due. To be jealous for the honour to go to the right place. The other way that jealousy can be a good thing is the idea of guarding something valuable. That's what the word can mean. And we sometimes think about that to do with guarding things jealously. Sometimes when we speak, we say we want to guard something jealously. Like looking after something really valuable. Anybody know what those are? A child, yeah? Crown something. Yes, Nathan? Yeah, the crown jewels. They're the sort of official jewels of the Queen. I think they've been around since the 1600s, something like that. Which are kind of official jewels that say she is the Queen. And that will be for the next king or queen that comes after as well. Anybody of the children know where they're kept, mostly, I think? Somebody else who hasn't answered? Does Oakley know? Did he say Tower of London? That's the right answer. That is where they're kept, in the Tower of London. Are they still in the Tower of London? I think they are. They just might very occasionally get moved for some official reasons. But yeah, that's where they're kept, in London. I think you can go and see them on certain days. Yep. So that's where they're kept. And the Tower looks quite a good place to keep jewels, doesn't it? But also they have guards there to make sure that no one can steal them. It's something valuable. It's something to do with the honor of the queen, and there are guards there to protect them. We're going to play another game, but A, we're out of time, and B, I'm out of breath. So we're not going to do that one. So there is a good way of being jealous. We can be jealous because the honor goes to the wrong place, and we can be jealous because we want to protect something. Perhaps the adults could understand this one, that there's a good way for a husband to be jealous about his wife. There's a bad way, if we might accuse or be very suspicious for no good reason, or always criticise. So there's a bad way, but there's a good way of being jealous about our wives, wanting to protect their honour, wanting them to be honoured by other people for the good things they do, because we love them. That would be a good way to be jealous about our husbands or our wives. So there's a good jealousy, giving honour when it's due, and guarding something really valuable. And this morning, we're just thinking about the fact that God is a jealous God, and God is jealous in a good way. God is jealous in a really good way. He wants the honour to go to the right place. He wants the glory to go to the right place. In the book of Isaiah, he says, "I won't share my glory with another." God wants us to love him more than anyone else. God wants us to serve him more than anyone else. God wants us to praise him more than anyone else. God guards his honour more than anything else. God guards his glory more than anything else. God always, always seeks to protect his honour and his glory. He always makes his reputation, his honour safe. And you might say, well, I can see there's a good way to be jealous, but is it really all right for God to be that jealous, to be that intent on protecting his glory and getting all the glory? I think that's really hard for us to understand and answer. But I suppose you just need to think about who God is for just a moment. If you really were the only God, just for a thought for a moment, think there's only one God, he made everything, then you would deserve the glory for making everything. You would deserve the honour for making everything. It wouldn't be selfish to say, I can't share that honour because I did it. No one else did it. I did it. I can't share that glory with anyone else. It's hard for us to imagine any person who 100% deserves all of our praise, who 100% deserves all of our worship. But God is that kind of God. And it's really the beginning of becoming a follower of God through Jesus. It's really the beginning when we start to realize that, when we start to say God is so big and so great and so worthy, he deserves all my praise, and it's right for him to be jealous. And sometimes it's part of us kind of realizing who we are when we say, you know what, that's true. Sometimes we talk about the word sin and we think about it as doing bad things, things that we define as not very good things. But really, the beginning of sin is saying God doesn't deserve all the honour and all the glory and all the praise. And God's really got a bit of a nerve saying you should only worship me. God doesn't deserve that. That's the beginning of sin. That's where it all starts. Us saying God doesn't deserve me to worship him. He's just being selfish. That's the beginning of sin. But the beginning of really understanding God is to say he does deserve it. So there's a bad way to be jealous. There's a good way to be jealous. God is jealous in a good way. He deserves all of our praise. But just as we finish, it's worth saying this, that God is jealous, but at the same time, he's generous. Even if he wasn't generous, we'd still need to worship him because he deserves it. But he is so generous He made the world for us. He made the world for us. He made the world himself for his own glory, but he made it for us to share and to enjoy. And we took the glorious world and we busted up by thinking God doesn't deserve all the glory. And we messed it up and we dishonored the world. But God sends Jesus. And that's an amazing thing, that God deserves all the honor. He's a jealous God. He deserves all the praise. But this person, Jesus, who is God, came to this earth and he was dishonored and people didn't want to praise him and they hated him and they put him on a wooden cross and killed him and they completely dishonored him and it seemed like there was no glory because Jesus gave it up. Wow. He's a jealous God who won't give away his glory and wants the honor to go to the right place, but because he is so generous, he sends Jesus, who gives up his glory for us. Somebody in the New Testament says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give along with him, graciously give us all things?" Jesus is so great, so majestic and powerful, but he's dishonored and hated and doesn't get the reward he deserves in life. He dies, but he gives up his life for his people. And there's a wonderful thing happening as Jesus comes and dies, that God is doing something amazing and something really wonderful that we're going to praise him for. But at the same time, he is being unbelievably generous and kind and unselfish. So never think that God's jealousy is a bad thing. It's a good thing because he deserves praise, but it's a good thing because he is a generous God who actually, in Jesus, gave up all the honor in order that we would know God as Father and friend. God is a jealous God, but such a generous one. Elkanah, God is a jealous God. He deserves it. We need to praise him, but he's a generous God. So for all our failures, all our faults, all the ways we haven't honored him, he sends Jesus, who pays the penalty for that. And we're so thankful. And we want to say God is a jealous God, and that's a great thing.